Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
All righty. Welcome back to yet another episode of Blind Level Tech, or BLT. I am your host, Devin Starnes, and I hope you guys have been enjoying your May. Over here, it's been kind of uneventful and, but, you know, relaxing and enjoyable. So, but yeah, hope y'all are doing well out there in podcast land. And Kelvin, how was your weekend and how are you holding up, man? And
well, actually, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I'm so excited that you are here. And How am I holding up? Well, I tell you, it's San Diego weather. I can't complain. It is May gray, what we say here in San Diego, where it's kind of gloomy all the time. But, hey, it's not hot, and it's not raining, and it's not windy. So what else can you complain, right? Can it seem like everywhere around the country right now is facing really some major emergency situations, and which is what I'm so excited about today's topic, because we're going to be talking about emergencies. I mean, did you hear about all the tornadoes down in the South?
Yeah, and there was a solar kind of storm that I don't know if it really did anything like on the cellular end of things, but it kind of messed around with power grids and. It caused a lot of interference for like amateur radio operators and stuff. So that was crazy.
I mean, if we want to go down conspiracy theories, you know, we could get crazy there, but we should probably just keep this.
We shouldn't.
A high level. But what's interesting is when I was going to bed the other night and I was sitting there listening to this weather meteorologist. There you go. Yeah, we got this. Anyway, and so I was listening to him, and I was on live, and I was just going to bed, and he's like, and oh, here comes another tornado! Here comes another tornado! And here comes another tornado! And I'm like, I am so thankful I don't live there. Could I?
Me what, too.
How would I handle that emergency? How would I handle that situation? And I'm like, Well, I think we need to build a plan, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what would you do in that situation? So you live in Colorado. They have tornadoes there. What would you do in a tornado situation, Evan?
Well, I would honestly be prepared prior to that tornado situation. We don't really get a whole lot of tornadoes here in Colorado, but I would first of all start by considering I'd start with the three ring analogy, the U analogy, as you call it, as it's called.
What I think I love about the U analogy, it really gets you prepared in that process. And it gets you ready to think about yourself, you. So let's break that down. Y is you. O is the opportunities for you to be successful. And U is the universe around you to be successful. And why is this important? Because you need to have all three of those planned out in an emergency situation. So, Evan, kind of what would you do to prepare for the Y part of you in the three-ring process? Focusing on what would you need in a tornado situation to make sure you are ready to handle that tornado?
Honestly, I am actively thinking about that. Probably some well, probably information on where the closest tornado shelter would be, or knowledge about like a good place, you know, if I'm at home, a good place to shelter, probably a I'd always heard like a mattress, like you cover yourself in a mattress so you don't get hit with anything. And honestly, I would want to have anything super essential on hand, you know, like on my person, you know, phone, my charger, my pocket knife, maybe I don't know about emergency food, but just stuff that I know that I could use to help me, you know, function effectively. Yeah.
So let's break that down. What would be in that kit? Because if we're talking about the why component of your emergency plan in any situation, so you live in Colorado, I live in San Diego. Like San Diego, we have wildfires. So a lot of things that we need to be worried about here in San Diego, we need to have our papers ready. We need to have a bag for 3 days. Probably here in San Diego, when there's a wildfire, you normally are going to be gone for about 3 to 5 days. So you need to probably prepare for 5 days of clothes. You need to have all your essentials that you need to be successful to stay wherever you're going to stay. And the other thing that you're going to need to think through is, how are you going to be able to make sure if your house does burn down to be able to rebuild your house, or what are you going to do from that situation? Do you have all the right documents? Because a lot of times you need proof of information of that you own that property, or you're renting that property, or anything, so that way you can get back there. So those are some things that you really need to think through. And mostly, this is blind level tech, right? You need a blind cane.
Yes.
Make sure you got a blind cane in your emergency kit for yourself. And that way you got that ready to go. And Evan, you're a Braille user. What kind of Braille technology would you have in your emergency kit to make sure you can take notes? What would you use?
I honestly would, believe it or not, I would go with a Slayton stylus.
Old school, why, man. That's old school.
It is old school, and it's slow unless you're really fast at it. Some people are like embossers, human embossers. But the thing with those is they'll never die.
Yep.
And they don't require any network connectivity. Mm-hmm. They don't load. You literally just pull it out and start writing.
Yep.
Of course, though, there are some, I guess, compromises to that. You know, if the papers get wet, or if I lose my stylus or what have you, and you know, obviously the speed, but that's what I go with, because you know, you need to have, besides, you know, your proof of ownership of home ownership, you know, it's a generally also a good idea to also have like your major card numbers and yep. stuff like that written down.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the other key component is, like, for me, I have a little bit of vision left. So if I have black paper and a giant white marker, I can still see text. So that's what I would use for notes. And the other thing to really think through, and I think when we think about our emergency kit, it's not necessarily thinking through, all right, what we need to help us just get
survival tech. It's more like
it's more on, I plan to come back home, but I also need to make sure that if my home's not there, how am I going to prove and all of that stuff and be able to do that. And those are some things to really think through. So like last week, we kind of did a lot of survival things and so forth, and they're all good things. And honestly, if you had that whole kit together, you're pretty well set for any emergency fire situation as well, or tornado situation.
Flooding or any of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the next part, Evan. So what is the next part of the three rings, which we're calling the U?
Yeah, that's the O, and that is the
options. So it's the options that you have available to you in an emergency situation. And I'll use an example here. When the power went out here it wiped out the whole city of San Diego all the way out to Arizona and up to kind of Oceanside, not quite all the way up to past the Riverside area, but there was no electricity. And I remember, this is the craziest thing ever. I was sitting on a potter wheel, and out of all things, probably making the biggest pottery piece of my life. And my hand was, I was standing, and my hand was all the way into the pottery wheel, and it was spinning. And I was trying to get this big vase to start really coming out. And next thing you know, my hand's halfway up, and the power just dies. And I'm like, and I'm standing hunched over, and I'm thinking, this is like the piece of my life, like the piece that will forever change my life, right? And the next thing you know, they're saying the power is out all of San Diego. It's gone all the way to Arizona. There is no power, and they don't think it's going to come back until tomorrow. I'm like, well, there goes my piece. But then here's another problem, though. I didn't have an emergency plan. And I didn't have a way to get a hold of my wife. I had a cell phone. But the problem was, where I was, my wife was downtown. I was in the Claremont area, which is a couple miles away. And where we lived and where my parents lived, I was in the middle, and my wife was closer to our house. So we had to decide, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive this power outage? And we didn't have a plan, and that really concerned me. And the other thing is, I couldn't call her because the cell phone tower were jammed. And the other part is, I couldn't get texts out there because it just was not working. The only way I was able to get a hold of her was via email. So I emailed her. She responded back. It was the most weirdest long thread email, you know, going back and forth. So we decided that I would hike over to my parents' house and be there. And then she would drive and meet me at my parents' house. And then we would just stay the night. And my parents, and since I have their house memorized and we're familiar, and then there's food there and all that stuff, so we made that decision.
Absolutely. And
it really kind of opened my eyes to understand, did I have a really good plan for that? Was my option for this situation valuable? And so we have a plan of what is our option when an emergency happens. We all go to my parents. If you get to my parent, you're in good shape. If you're not there, that's where the issue is. So, Evan, do you have a plan like this set up for yourself?
Well, I'm actually really glad you asked, because I literally had the exact same thing happen to me. Well, not the exact same thing happened, but a very similar thing happened to me a couple weeks ago. You know, in my apartment, we had these ridiculously crazy windstorms, and XL precautionary, you know, they shut the power off just to prevent any, you know, electrical fires and stuff like that. And power went out Saturday and didn't come back until Monday evening. And I mean, besides the fact that was a nightmare for here at Aftersight, because we lost our, you know, our battery backups run out and everything. And but anyway, the options that I had at my disposal were, fortunately, I did have some. I do try to at least electrically be prepared for a power outage. So I had fortunately had a big, giant, fat power bank charged up, ready to rumble and ready to charge my phone up. And that thing kept that phone at 100% all throughout the night. And it actually made it made the power outage more survivable, because for me, there are a couple options I have, and for anybody, there are a couple options you have. You know, do you just stick it out where you are, you know, shelter in place, or do you jump ship and go to somewhere that has power and that will have, you know, hot food or whatever it might be? Because, for people that live at apartments, you know, if you have like a big boiler, you know, not just a water heater in your apartment, you know, a boiler that heats the water for the whole building, and you lose power, enjoy all that hot water while you can, because it's going to go away.
And it truly is like cold shower.
Oh, man, it's awful. But the options that I had were that power bank. I thought I was going to be able to use one of my uninterrupted power supplies, my big one for my computer, to fire up my nobody was talking to you, smart speaker, but I thought I was going to be able to use the uninterruptible power supply that I use on my PC. But apparently it wasn't powerful enough to run my electric kettle. And so I had to kind of cross that option off. And that's kind of what you might have to do. If there's a power outage, you might not necessarily know, oh, I can do X, Y, and Z, and this is going to work for me. It might be a trial and error kind of thing, and that's okay.
Yep.
So it kind of eventually boiled down to it. You know, the conditions weren't, you know, the next day, you know, the storm had gone away. You know, we braved it, survived it. There were a lot of downed trees and some downed power lines. And, you know, we were still without power until the day after, Monday. But the reality of the situation was I didn't have heat. I have all electric appliances, and thus I didn't have a way to heat anything up or make any or cook anything. So if I wanted to eat, I was probably stuck with junk food, maybe some cereal.
Or and a BLT so, sandwich.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. What about the bacon? Unless I made it beforehand.
My foster son will eat that BLT sandwich with a raw. So.
Oh, man.
I don't get it. That was one thing. Not for me.
It eventually led to me having to make the very tough decision to go to my grandparents because they have a gas stove and they had electricity. Mm-hmm. So.
I think that kind of brings me to the idea is when in an emergency situation, your community is extremely important. Because if you have the option, what are your options in an emergency figured out, then you need to figure out what is your community. In your case, Evan, was your grandparents. Yep. My case is my parents. The other part of it is the other part to this is of the U is the U part, the letter U, and that is the universe around you, and in that emergency situation, and in the 2003 wildfires here in San Diego, is one of the first times I ever really realized how important it is to be engaged in the community around you and what's happening in your town or city or just in your neighborhood. And for me, I think the 2003 wildfires kind of woke up a lot of people in across the country about emergency safety and being prepared for emergencies in a whole different way. And I think that's kind of what changed a lot of things. But in my case, one of the things that I realized is that I needed to really be ready to take in the information and be able to evacuate. And so that's when I signed up for reverse 911. I also signed up for the reverse 911 was the main thing. And then you had the TV and you had the radio and you had, I think, emails and a text. And so those were all the main things that you had so that the community could reach you in that emergency situation. And today, like here in San Diego, we have the emergency app. And so if you're signing in, you know when all the earthquakes happen, you know when the winds are high, you know when things are going to be a lot of rain. If it rains a little bit here, it's flooding here. We don't know how
even
to handle
sprinkle.
Rain. Yeah, if it sprinkles, the river is already flooded. So
swampy guys.
Yeah, and so, so just being prepared in those scenarios. Like for me, my way where I come to go to work every day is on a flood route, and so I have to then find another way to get out of, to get to work. And so I have to then reroute myself, and it takes me about an extra 30 minutes to do that route. And so it's knowing that plan, knowing the community doing around you, so that way you can have the U part, the Y part, and the O part figured out how you're going to implement that. So, Evan, like in Colorado, what are some things that you guys have to help you understand what's happening in the community in an emergency situation?
I mean, it's pretty similar to you guys. I'd never heard of reverse 911, by the way. I don't, but we have, you know, our government emergency alerts system, you know, like everybody has on their phones. And, you know, you get an alert, it makes a super loud beeping noise and makes your phone vibrate. So we have that. And we also have NOAA, and everywhere has NOAA. And I'm just going to say right now, I would recommend to everybody, even if you have the greatest smartphone and everything, get a NOAA weather radio, because it can be monumentally helpful, because it you put batteries in it. It doesn't require cellular data. But so we have that. And we have – actually, one thing that should be brought up is the Red Cross, because the Red Cross is can be a lifesaver, literally. Yep. And they can also provide you with emergency kits. But because the type of emergencies that we have here, we deal more with like a lot of wildfires, unfortunately, and a lot of windy and a lot of winter snow and and you'd actually and just kind of with regards to the whole concept of you being in the universe, fortunately, like for this last power outage, I was able to actually, you know, be in, you know, outside, and I was able to go from my apartment to my grandparents. However, if the universe had decided, let's have a snowstorm, and, you know, it was snowing, like dumping buckets of snow on the ground, that would have not really been possible. And honestly, thinking about that now actually is kind of making me want to kind of rethink my emergency plan. But
what would you do in that? Like, what would if it was a ton of snow and you couldn't get to your grandparent, what would you do in that situation?
Cry and throw a temper tantrum.
Oh man!
No, I would probably start. I don't know. I think if I knew that the stuff in my fridge was going to go bad, I'd start eating that whatever I could right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Not that that's the smartest thing to do, but at least it saves some of my stuff that I spent money on.
Yeah. Well, what about your warmth? Because that is a big issue. And if you're all electric, how are you going to stay warm?
Well, every emergency kit needs to have an emergency blanket. That's what I would probably go to, because if my apartment's, you know, like 50 something degrees, you know, freezing cold, that thing will hold in body heat, and it will kind of, you know, it'll basically make you your own heater. And so I would probably go and grab that. And honestly, you know, I wouldn't, ordinarily I'd say I'd go take a hot bath, but no hot water. So can't do that.
So, I mean, it kind of comes down to is really knowing what emergency situation you're going to find yourself in your environment. Like, we haven't really talked about tornadoes too much. We haven't really talked about hurricanes. We haven't talked about tsunamis or
flash floods.
Yeah.
Flash floods happen here too.
Yeah. So those are all things. What is the plan? So let's just, if you break down all the emergencies, like here in San Diego, earthquakes happen all the time. And they're not that big of a deal to us because our structures are well built.
You're built to support those.
Yeah. And so, but we have a plan for a tsunami that if it comes this way. And honestly, like where I live, I would be just right at the cusp of that tsunami wave hitting me, because I'm just right above enough, high enough above sea level. I'm like, maybe I should go farther inland if an earthquake. But what would be my plan for that? And I kind of carry my emergency kit with me all the time. Okay, my backpack had all the key essentials for me to survive because of how much traveling I do. And so it's essentially like I just replenish my backpack with my essentially all the emergency things I would need. Like my passport's in there and all of my documents are in there and so forth. So all my essential things that I would need to make when I need to make a fast dash to go straight to my backpack, I am good to go. And so I'm always prepared for that, but it always sucks when in that situation, like, oh, here we go. We're going to have this emergency.
I don't have X, Y, Z.
Yep. Yep. And that is another thing to think about. And I think it being okay, being uncomfortable, because if you allow the uncomfortableness to mentally get you, or to mentally impact you, it's going to affect your health.
And
you're not going to make rational
responsiveness.
Yeah. And you're not going to make rational decisions. And so that's where it's like, for me, I always put myself in uncomfortable situations so that way I stay calm, collective, and then put some reaction to it. And so one of the things that I like, because of how much travel I do and how small my suitcase and everything, I always, when I go to a hotel, my bag is always packed, ready to go. I might unpack it to get the stuff out for the next day, but it's always packed, ready to go. And it's just, if you can get into that mindset, always having that go bag and that you have your why, which is you, which is your go bag, and then you have your options, which is the plan that you're going to implement to be successful, to get out of the emergency situation that you're in. And then you, what is the universe around you? Is your community ready for what you need for an emergency situation? Evan, do you have any thoughts on this? What is your thoughts on really building this plan and making this a solid plan in making sure you're successful in this?
Well, I think it's there are a few things to unpack here. No pun intended. Not totally intended. The first thing is regarding the feeling of discomfort. Just understand, for what it's worth, you are not alone.
Yep.
At all. Plenty of people are experiencing the same thing. And yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of a thought I've had, because it is comforting to me to know that other people would be going through the same struggle.
Yep.
But also, I think honestly, just having a dedicated go bag is a really good idea. Just like pack a bag full of food, clothes, gear, papers, and make copies of emergency paperwork if necessary, even. Mm-hmm. And just like keep it in your closet, your bedroom, wherever. Now, if you're the one thing that I'm actually still kind of processing right now and thinking about is really what to do when you're on the go, because I can imagine for some, if you always kept your bag packed and you unpacked but then repacked, it might be a little inconvenient, but also it's a you know, it also will mean that you are prepared. And in case, you know, you decide you want to go up to, you know, somewhere for a nice little weekend getaway or whatever, and, you know, that just happens to be the weekend of an emergency situation.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's one of those things. You got to do what you think is best for yourself.
Exactly.
And you got to be ready. But the main thing is, don't mess up your accessibility. Just don't mess it up. Like, that's the one thing I would say is, what do you need to be successful? Is that, what assistive technology do you need to deal with the mundane of the emergency? And what tools do you need to be able to do that? In my case, so if I break that down, what do I need to be successful as a visually impaired individual and to be able to get all the resources I need? Well, one of them is hearing aids. Like, I got to have hearing aids. So,
yeah, and you got to have batteries or a charging case that's fully charged for those.
Exactly. So I have a charging case for that, and I also have a backup battery for that. And so, and then the other component is, all I really needed is a phone. A phone, hearing aids, and a cane. I pretty much can handle all of my AT things that I would need to be successful to be able to receive information, gather data. What about you, Evan? Would there be anything else you would add into that, or would that be kind of what you would need?
Chargers. Chargers and power banks, like what Jonathan had talked about in part one. Yep. Solar-powered power banks even would be the best. Yep. Or just, you know, one really good power bank that you know works and is dependable. But honestly, the smartphone does it all. I mean, if I need something to read print, got it on my phone. If I need a flashlight, well, I think you should actually carry a backup flashlight.
Or but really a cane.
Your phone does have
I mean,
one.
Why do you need a flashlight? You got a cane, you're good to go.
But if you got a cane, yeah, people can see. No. Yeah.
I had to do the same plug.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So my stomach is starting to get a little hungry, man.
Really, yeah. But now this won't keep you, you know, exactly prepared. But one thing you should always have on hand is a good
sandwich of the week.
And Kelvin, you seem pretty pretty bold. So I'm actually going to call on you first.
Oh,
what's
boy.
Your sandwich? Yeah.
All right. We're going to go traditional In-N-Out double cheeseburger.
Really?
Yeah, with no vegetables. I tell you, I'll never forget the day when I was going, before I lost my vision, I would go on these little trips to go fix houses and so forth. And there was an In-N-Out, and they get us a stipend for food. And I would go to In-N-Out 3 times a day, get myself a double cheeseburger with their In-N-Out sauce called spread with cheese. And it made my tummy happy.
I bet.
So what about you, Evan? What would be your sandwich of the week?
I'm going to actually go back to one that I announced a long time ago, only because it's on the mind. And that is a good, nice and juicy, drippy Reuben.
Okay.
I love a good Reuben sandwich. I have a bias. My grandma makes the best Reuben sandwiches.
Okay.
Opinion, not fact, totally biased. Shameless plug for her food. Yeah. But I love those things. You know, I'm not – that might be one of the very few times I'll eat sauerkraut. I can't stand sauerkraut otherwise. But yeah, the Reuben is my sandwich of the week. So yes. Anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode, and we really hope that part two gave you, you know – the information you needed. And really what we want to emphasize here is, like, right now, like wherever you are, wherever you might be, if you don't have at least some form of a good little plan for emergency situations, stop listening to this episode and go make one right now.
Yep.
But Kelvin, any last closing thoughts?
Well, I think one thing is, remember, we're visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to figure out how to live beyond our challenges. So, like I always say, go live beyond your challenges.
Indeed. And of course, if you got feedback for Aftersight or any of our podcast hosts, you can always email feedback@aftersight.org or call 720-712-8856. And that hike is coming up. It's getting closer and closer each and every week. And so aftersight.org/hike to register if you haven't already. With that being said, for Aftersight and the entire family here, this is Evan Starnes and Kelvin Crosby.
Don't forget to plug in your device.